my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is our bargain site, our deal site, where we update all through the day and evening bargains that could save you substantial money. Coming up later, Clark Stinks. It's your opportunity to share with your fellow listener where you feel I'm giving inaccurate advice, bad opinions, that I give bad information, whatever it is. You can see how to post when I upset you at clark.com/clarkstinks, or you can just listen to what others have said about me coming up later. So there's a big fight going on behind the scenes because the World Health Organization has now labeled excessive gaming as a psychological disorder. And the reality is there are people with addictive personalities who spend steadily more hours gaming. There was a survey done that I saw in MarketWatch that the number of people spending an hour or more a day playing video games increased 20% over the last year. But that's child's play, an hour a day. So there are a lot of people who believe they're going to be a professional gamer, that they're going to earn a living being a gamer. And they become obsessed, don't leave their rooms, don't see the outside world, maybe don't get out of their pajamas. And they're spending enough hours, they could be maybe doing a full-time job just gaming. So I can tell you where my journey has been with my kids. And that is that when a child gets into playing video games, our whole thing has been being in the tug of war that we want our kid to win. Because the kid wants to just play and play and play, and they can get more and more addicted to it. So what we have done is we limit the amount of time that our kids will, two of them are too old for us to do that, but we have one school age kid left. But we did, when the two older ones were younger, we went strict with limits. Our son, who is 14, is not a big gamer. He's not into it. Some of his friends are, and they're playing games all the time. So we haven't had to worry about this becoming a problem for him. But if he had had the problem like we saw with his older siblings, we would have established a strict limit for him as well. And your kids are going to be angry. They're going to be defiant. They're going to try to play behind your back. So you got to know that. But you're the parent. And it's almost like the thing with kids who play sports in high school and become obsessed with them to detriment of everything else because they're convinced they're going to be a professional athlete. And they're not going to have to worry about school or regular work or anything because they're going to be a professional athlete. Well, who knew that same kind of mentality would take hold with people about being a professional gamer? But it has. And it didn't help that the winner of a Fortnite competition got $3 million. So now people are like, yeah, see, I don't need to study algebra. I don't need sleep. I just need to be great at the games and the millions are going to be rolling in. But just like with the athletes, almost nobody makes the cut as a professional athlete. And even those who do, most have a very, very short, not very lucrative career. Gaming's not going to be any different. Joe joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Joe. You have a question for me about a really great product that almost nobody's even ever heard of.
Yes, I was researching your cell phone deals on your website, and one of my coworkers has Google Fi that he uses. And I said, oh, what is this? And it was $20 a month, but for your data, it's $10 for each gigabyte up to 6 gigabytes. And the great selling point is that you can take this international and you don't pay extra for the data internationally.
Yeah, Google Fi, for anybody who travels outside the United States, has become perhaps the go-to service. So they meter data till you hit a cap where you then go unlimited data, which is at a pretty high price per month for a single line. It's $80 a month, is that right?
Correct.
So for someone who spends the overwhelming amount of their time in the United States, if you use a substantial amount of data, Google Fi is not a good deal for you. But then there's two types of people who do extremely well with Google Fi and dare say it may be the best choice for them. And that's someone who uses a more moderate amount of data, because then you're looking at a monthly bill of $30-some-odd a month on average for a single line is what people tend to end up at. Or the first thing we talked about, and that's somebody who does heavy international travel.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of travel over to Europe, and I was looking at different types of options, and that's what got my attention with this. But I don't know if it would be the best, because I'm only over there maybe, you know, twice a year at this point.
And when you go twice a year, are you there like a week at a time or something?
Maybe a week or two at a time, but not for a long stretch.
Okay, so in your case, you may find that you're going to be better served as a T-Mobile customer.
Okay.
Because the advantage with T-Mobile is that they don't allow you to just spend month after month after month outside the United States. But with T-Mobile, when you travel outside the United States, you have unlimited free texting and unlimited data. And depending on the plan you get, you either get pokey slow data or decent data. And if you want to make voice calls back to the United States, they're 25 cents a minute.
Okay.
How much data do you think you use in a typical month?
I was just looking. I'm using about maybe 6 to 8 gigabytes a month.
All right, so you're looking at 80 a month, truly, if you went on Google Fi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How many people do you have on your plan?
It's just me. I'm just a single person.
Okay. So I have a different idea for you then.
Okay.
What if you went with a cheaper unlimited data plan with one of the second tier companies? You know, you can think Walmart Family Mobile. You could think of, you could do Cricket. You could do Metro by T-Mobile. And you get your unlimited data. And then when you travel internationally, just buy a local SIM for while you're there.
Okay.
You wouldn't have your normal number available to you. But with the local SIM, you'd be able to use calling apps like Viber, WhatsApp, things like that.
Yeah, my friends have told me about WhatsApp, so I will definitely look into that as well.
Yeah, it's worked great for so many people traveling overseas to use these third-party calling apps. I travel enough overseas, I have 4 of those apps on my phone because sometimes one will be working well and the other not so well. And so I'm always able to stay in touch, and I try to never spend 25 cents a minute for a call from somewhere in the world back to the U.S. or from the U.S. to me wherever I am. Kevin's with me on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Kevin. How can I serve you today?
Well, I like to think of myself as a hopeless romantic, and I was looking for some suggestions on cost-effective or cost-free ways to show my significant other how much I care about her.
How about that? So, not like things you would do that would be fun, free, or nearly free activities. I'm talking about how to just let her know that you care and that you're there and all that, but not spend a lot of money.
Correct.
Okay.
Unique things.
All right. So I'm into flowers, and you know, for my wife, and I buy her flowers all the time. Whenever I see them on special, and I can't even begin to tell you how many times a man will come up to me and say, you know, when it's not a special occasion kind of time, say, "Oh, what are you in trouble for?" You know, because when it's not Valentine's Day or something, a lot of people think, oh, you must be trying to make up for something you did. But I think flowers are awesome. I think cooking a meal, preparing a picnic, coming up with activities that are very, very low cost but show the thought involved. Making your own greetings cards. That, you know, you buy a poster board, cut it up, and you make a lot of different greetings cards, and you personalize them. I mean, you know, things you do that show your care, that's what makes the greatest impression, not going and buying something or doing something that's expensive.
Right.
You know, during the Great Recession last decade, I had a lot of people call me who were overwhelmed with cases of guilt where they didn't have money to do Christmas maybe like they'd done in the past. And I would talk about these kind of things where you do something really thoughtful for somebody instead of spending money. You know, in the United States, we've so heavily gone to this concept of spending money is how you show that you love somebody. And that's really hokey. It's crazy.
Right.
What other kind of things have you thought about?
I thought about, like, if there's any e-cards that you could send through email systems or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, in the early era of e-cards, they were routinely available for free. And have you looked at Blue Mountain? I think they have a lot of them you can send for free.
No, sir. No.
So a lot of them have 7-day trial periods, or they'll have a monthly subscription. But if you like to send a lot of cards, the subscription's probably okay because they tend to be somewhere like $4 or $5 a month. If you don't send a lot of cards, not worth it. But, you know, you can go to Dollar Tree and you can buy greetings cards, too, for a buck.
Oh, yeah. All right, sounds good. I appreciate your time.
All right, so be romantic. Don't waste money. They can both be true. But when I was single, I used to take a date to a meal, and I'd use a coupon for the meal. And that's when you could tell if somebody really didn't think that was okay or they did think it was okay. That if you were trying to save money on the meal, there were people who just didn't like that at all. And then others were like, hey, that's cool.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Steve is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on the call on the show.
Sure, Steve. You have a dilemma that many people face. Hit me with it.
So I follow your rule, and I have two credit cards, one that I consider my main card and then one that I use basically to track Christmas purchases. And my main card is a rewards card, and it's got a what I consider a high annual fee of $75. And when I do a cost-benefit analysis, the rewards just don't pay off for the $75. My problem there is it's got a 26 and change thousand credit limit. And it's my oldest form of credit. And so what I'm worried about is that if I cancel this card, it'll kill my utilization. And my utilization at the beginning of the month is about 1%. My at the end of the month, maybe 3%. I only have one other loan besides my mortgage, and that's going to be paid off in 5 months. So I'm just wondering
how you handle this.
I got two suggestions.
All right. First one is, go pick out a replacement card now.
I already have, and I used one of your short lists with the 2% cash back, and that reward's going to pay back dividends.
And what kind of credit limit does that have?
Only 9,000.
All right.
Still so more than enough.
Your utilization would still be below 10%.
Right.
And so you would have that plus the other card you use to control your Christmas spending. Is that right?
Correct.
You're okay closing the card you've got with okay. the ratios you have. But what I would like you to do is when you call them to cancel, before you cancel, ask, is there a version of the card they can give you that has no annual fee?
Okay.
And then you're able to keep that headroom of that $27,000 in available credit. And at the same time, you keep that old card aging in your history. I mean, the age of it will still benefit you on your credit report, but letting it continue to age would be even better. A lot of times a card company will offer you a replacement for free just to keep you free of no annual fee. It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. So that's the goal. It's to provide you with advice and information that you can put to work in your life each and every day. And so you depend on me to give you the best possible answers, good guidance, give you the facts you need. There are times, though, that you're disappointed by me. You feel like what I've said is lame, wrong, or dumb. And so I need you, because we're all in this together, to let me know when I have missed the mark. That's why we have clark.com/clarkstinks. When you got a beef with me, you're angry with me, or disappointed by me, go to clark.com/clarkstinks and post your unhappiness. Others can read it. They can comment on it. They can agree. They can disagree. And then weekly, our producer, Krista, reads some of your posts right here on the air.
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
Clark, your advice fundamentally changed my attitude toward personal finance, but I can't believe you gave such a stink idea to a lady named Tiffany. She has a 2014 vehicle that has over 100,000 miles with transmission failure. She spent $6,000 repairing the vehicle in the past year, and she estimated another $6,000 upside down on the loan. You told her to go ahead and throw another $6,000 to fix that car again, or take her chances and buy a junk car and keep paying for her disabled vehicle. My God, I am beyond disappointed and even disgusted with you by this at this point. I wish I could call to stop you. First, she is not a mechanic, obviously. Neither are you. What makes you think her car will be good after another $6,000 repair? Can she potentially keep spending $6,000 or more every year to fix that that car with 100,000 miles? Second, you, as usual, demonize dealerships as if we are all criminals and crooks. Based on her credit score at 665, with $6,000 or even less down payment and manufacturer and dealership incentives, she can easily go above the water and get a brand new, reliable, second-tier make vehicle for probably the same payment. Third, I know you're going to say no longer than a 48-month term. Based on her situation, her best bet is to get rid of her disabled car and just pay as much as possible every month if she wants short-term financing. Davey.
Davey, thank you for your post. I've talked to people who work in F&I, finance and insurance at dealerships, and how many people they end up dealing with who want to go into a new vehicle when they're upside down on the last one. At some point, that's got to stop. And so in her case, the vehicle wasn't working right. It needed a new transmission. She's going to get clobbered on trade-in because you can't give her any decent amount on a trade-in that's got to be fixed anyway. I felt like it was worth one more shot at repairing the vehicle and keeping it on the road, because every month moving forward, she'd continue to pay down on that loan and eventually get to where she's not upside down. And maybe my perspective is too narrow. Maybe I missed the mark on it, but I worry so much about people taking what you call in the trade negative equity and rolling it into another deal. That is really long-term not healthy at all for somebody's finances.
Okay, by far the most popular subject on this week's Clark Stinks were posts about this. So you changed the way podcasts are accessed. I can no longer download files to my USB drive and listen in the car offline. Not everyone has internet in their car, Lee. So we revised our podcast page and to make it better. And you could still download podcasts, but it was hard to find. And so we did get a lot of complaints. And we see all these Clark Stinks as well, and it's been fixed. And you can now download all the podcasts just as you used to. So just wanted to read that and make sure everybody knew that.
So, okay, I'm being silent, and I wish you could see my facial expressions, because I understand nothing about the behind the scenes on that. So I'm glad that you not only saw those posts, but fixed it.
Yeah, not me, but our wonderful team. So thank you for going to the website. You can go to clark.com/podcasts if you want to see the new and improved page. I know Clark has stated that gold and other precious metals are not investments, but I wish he would go further and help get people to stop thinking of it as a hedge for in bad times. Gold has almost no intrinsic value except for its use in jewelry. It has very little use in manufacturing. I guarantee you that I would never trade any useful items such as food, tools, water, shelter, etc. for gold during a crisis. Gold has nothing going for it but its shine. If the meltdown that gold bugs fear ever comes, they will be painfully surprised by gold's lack of value. Leslie.
Leslie, I appreciate your post. I try to be respectful of people who fear really tough times and look at gold or precious metals as protection. But it's true to refer to it, as you did, as a hedge against bad times. That's an expression I use as well. And I don't know there's a particular harm if people want to put 5% or 10% of their assets in gold or precious metals. But as I've recommended over the years, better to have a fund for that rather than the actual physical metal like gold.
You don't stink, but you failed to mention to a recent caller regarding eyewear that they do not need a membership to go to that department in Costco. They just don't get the specials if they aren't a member. Lindy.
Lindy, thank you. And that's also true with the pharmacy, that you can tell them at the door you're not a member, but you're going to the pharmacy. And depending on the Costco, they'll either escort you over to the pharmacy. You have to pay cash only in that case. Or they'll just allow you to walk in and go to the pharmacy. And with the eyewear, Costco was rated in the most recent Consumer Reports survey as the best place in America to get eyeglasses, prescription eyeglasses.
I belong to a very reputable credit union, and they allow me to pay bi-monthly. do not charge me any additional fees. So not every instance where you are paying your mortgage bi-monthly is crooked or incorrect.
And yeah, the poster meant bi-weekly.
Yes.
And but yes, I get the idea.
Right. There are savings to be had on interest by paying bi-weekly, you'll say, as well as having that 13th payment, Mark.
Mark, that's fantastic that your credit union allows you to pay that way. A lot of people would prefer to pay their mortgage every other week instead of doing one payment a month. It trues up with a lot of people's pay cycles at work. And that's really fantastic that your credit union offers that flexibility.
Couple of posts about this one. I'd advise caution in saying the outcomes of U.S. healthcare is poor. From what I've seen, the data strongly suggests that U.S. providers do a great job, but it's lifestyle choices outside of the healthcare system, which are largely responsible for the shorter lifespans. When one controls for vehicular deaths, gun crime, obesity, premature births, lower population density, high rural population where it's difficult to have quick responses to cardiac arrests and strokes, and so on, the USA has longer lifespans. Also, there's a strong argument the USA spends so much because it's so rich. And what else would we spend our disposable income on above expensive healthcare procedures for older, wealthier people? The quick stereotypes on healthcare are largely incorrect fear-mongering for votes or reporter clicks. There is plenty of inefficiency in the system, but the USA's outcomes are fantastic when we control for lifestyle choices, Brett.
Brett, thank you for that. And when this came up, before a doctor posted also very eloquently that I was ignoring the lifestyle issues in the United States, you know, in terms of our diet and other things. And so what you said about older people having the very expensive surgeries as a cost, it was long believed that a huge percent of healthcare costs were in the final months of people's lives. But that has been generally disproven from what I've read lately. We do have inefficiency in the system, and we have a huge gap in the United States in primary care, as doctors in recent decades have generally turned away from being primary care physicians. We have a massive shortage for primary care, and so a lot of people don't get care till they're a lot sicker, and they don't have continuity of care because so many people don't have a primary care provider anymore. That's why I've been such a fan of physician's assistants and nurse practitioners that are happy to do primary care while MDs generally are not.
Clark recommended that a caller roll over an IRA by having a check sent to him. While this is a possibility, I would expect the default advice would be that the caller does a custodian-to-custodian transfer if the account types are the same, for example, traditional IRA to traditional IRA or a direct rollover, keeping the caller from needing to handle the check at all. This also eliminates the possibility of violating the one rollover per year rule, which only applies to rollovers that are executed using the 60-day rollover timeframe when the check is sent to the account holder. Mike.
Mike, thank you. And yes, all things being equal, you can just have a transfer done from one provider to another. That's the only proper way to handle a 401k distribution. You don't ever want a check sent to you. But for an IRA, it is a viable alternative to have a check sent to you.
Clark, I am a true believer. I'm following you by saving money on insurance, planning for my future, and being wise financially. Then one cold, dark day, I hear you talk about drinking Coke Zero. That stinks. You mentioned you work out every day, cheat on your diet once a week, and drink Coke Zero. My hero, drinking Coke Zero, I need to hear from you that Coke Zero is fine and I'm going to start drinking it again to my wife's dismay. Or I need to hear that it's not healthy and I'll continue my ban of sodas. Is it a part of your cheating day or do you drink it on a regular basis? Steve.
You sure that wasn't Krista who posted that?
No.
You hate me drinking the soft drinks. What do you call them, poison?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm guilty of having a diet soft drink once in a while too, but I do, the chemicals scare me.
So I
but
am,
it is good.
I am an excessive consumer of soft drinks. I love Coke Zero. I love Diet Dr. Pepper. And I drink soft drinks in smaller quantities than I used to, because my main beverage every day, I'm drinking it right now and I have all day long, is water. So as to whether they're poison or not, I'll leave that to Krista to decide. So I love your post. Please go to clark.com/clarkstinks and let me know when you feel I haven't done my job serving you. John joins us on the Clark Howard Show. And John, I'm so glad to have your call, because we've been getting some serious complaints from people using new car buying services. Tell me your story.
Well, my worry was really trying to find out which one is better to use. I have access to the Costco car buying program as well as the AARP. And I went to check just to kind of get an idea of which one might be better, but they want all my information. And I was kind of worried about giving them all my information right at the front, because I didn't want to get bombarded by phone calls.
Oh, you will. By emails and phone calls like you cannot believe. It'd be like you thought you were dealing with having debts owed all over the place, because there's so many phone calls and emails that it triggers. Using, and it's not a knock on AARP, it's any of the services that use the program behind the scenes that handles the car buying program for USAA, the car buying program for Consumer Reports, and several other people. It's called TrueCar, is who does it behind the scenes. And so what they do is they give you the average price on a vehicle you're interested in your area to find out what you can buy the vehicle for. Fill in this personal information with your name, phone number, email address, and all that. And then we'll give you quotes from several dealers. That's what the pitch is on the AARP site, as well as many others. And then the bombardment starts. So you said your other choice besides AARP is what?
Costco.
All right. So the Costco car buying program, I never hear complaints about. The way the Costco program works is either in a warehouse club, you'll see a colorful brochure for dealers in your area for each brand, or you go on Costco.com, verify your membership, and then they will tell you the dealer for the brand you're interested in, and then there will be a Costco member price that the dealer representative will provide to you. No games, no gimmicks, no hassles.
Okay, so basically to avoid all the phone calls, I just want to stick with Costco.
Well, actually, I have another strategy that I've come up with, okay?
Okay.
Are you familiar with Google Voice?
Yes.
So you can get a throwaway phone number from Google Voice and use it on the AARP thing. Set up an email address that's just for this car buying. And you call it John Buys a Car at soandso.com or something like that. And then you don't have to worry about them polluting your regular voicemail with messages, and you don't have to worry about them messing up your regular email with a constant barrage of spam.
Okay.
And then you're able to compare what kind of price you can get through the AARP program and the Costco program.
Okay, that sounds good.
You shouldn't have to do all that, though.
No.
So this is a TrueCar problem, not an AARP problem. TrueCar changed its business model to make dealers happy, and in return for making dealers happy, has now managed to make consumers miserable. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.